Good morning and welcome back, my friends. You are listening to the fastest 4 hours in talk radio. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio. Here we are at the 1 a.m. hour on the nose in the Central Time Zone. It is Wednesday, May 2nd, 2007. Welcome to all of you joining us on shortwave at a frequency 3.215. Welcome to all of you listening online at republicbroadcasting.org. And if you're over at our website, welcome to that as well, franklyspeakingradio.com. Lots of great information there, courtesy of the hard work of Webmaster James. Lots of amazing archives there of news and various things that are all collected and categorized for your viewing ease. We certainly appreciate him. And we appreciate you guys as well, because, again, without you listening and being a part of the show, it's simply just one guy talking into a microphone. 800-313-9443. Be aware of that number. Let's talk about some news here, shall we? Found this one on Monday, and I guess it was yesterday, right? BangkokPost.com is where you can find this. It says the United States and the European Union pledged to work closely to combat global climate change and forge closer economic ties as they wrapped up a transatlantic summit in Washington on Monday. U.S. President George W. Bush, German Chancellor Angela Merkel, and European Commission President José Manuel Barroso agreed to take steps to curb greenhouse gases, promote access to clean forms of energy, and develop better technology to combat global warming. Said Merkel, whose country holds the rotating EU presidency, quote, "We are aware of the fact that we do have a problem here and we need to solve this problem," end quote. Hey, well said, just like a politician. We have a problem and we need to solve this problem. Hey, bravo. How? That's the first question. The leaders also discussed efforts to halt Iran's alleged push to develop nuclear weapons. They discussed Kosovo, Afghanistan, and the violence in Sudan's Darfur region during the annual summit between the world heavyweights. The U.S. plans to install missile defense in Poland and the Czech Republic, and that was also a focus of the meeting. Bush has been under pressure from the EU, as well as several U.S. states and cities have taken their steps to on their own to reduce greenhouse gases to slow the Earth's rising temperatures. On the economic front, the two sides agreed to open air travel and reduce barriers between the world's two largest economies to strengthen transatlantic ties. How interesting. So we talked about the NAFTA and free trade agreements. In essence, because of global warming, we're expanding this, of course, over to the European side of things as well. It says the broader economic partnership is aimed at lowering bureaucratic obstacles to trade and investment by promoting steps such as common accounting standards, copyright protection, and liberalization of financial markets. The aviation agreement, known as Open Skies, is expected to lower ticket prices as it boosts transatlantic air travel by allowing European airliners to fly to U.S. destinations from all EU countries and further open the European aviation markets to U.S. carriers. So very, very interesting stuff there. It goes on, the Pentagon's Missile Defense Agency hopes to have a limited system in place in 2011 and the complete installation by 2013 if negotiations with Poland and the Czech Republic can be quickly wrapped up. Merkel spoke with Putin on Saturday about the controversial missile shield. Czech Prime Minister Mirek Topolánek said the decision whether to install the radar set will be made by his country, saying, quote, "It will be decided by the Czech Republic, and that either in the parliament or by the people or in a referendum and not by someone in Brussels or Moscow," end quote. Oh, good for him. But you can plainly see, in the course of discussing climate change, what inevitably comes up? Well, of course, the economic side of things, and of course, the militaristic side of things. So a story about climate change tosses in a great many other issues. You can see how significant this is, because this is an issue that will be prime political fodder for the would-be presidents on the campaign trail, and we're going to talk about some more of that and about how these things sort of affect national security in a variety of other ways as well, because there's a lot of things going on around the world behind the scenes, perhaps, that maybe we should talk about. We will do so when we come back. Stay with us, my friends. Back in 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Catholic priest calls for Christians to resist unjust war. It is an established historical fact that the Vatican has publicly stated that the Iraqi war is an unjust war. However, it miserably failed to tell its Catholic soldiers that it is a mortal sin to attack Iraq. The Protestant ministers in unison should take the logical step of telling their soldiers that it is a serious offense against God to participate in this unjust war. However, if enough Protestant ministers do not take this logical step, then the lay Catholics and Protestants have a serious obligation to demand of their clergy to take this logical step publicly. Personally, I am doing all that I can to stop the continuation of the murder, carnage, and suffering that is being committed against the innocent people of Iraq in this terrible, unjust war. For additional facts regarding this grave matter, order the lecture by Father John Martinez entitled WW3 Can Still Be Prevented. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for more information and ordering.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
PersonAlarms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Glad you're here. And again, covering some news here tonight, as we are wont to do on this program. This one, very, very interesting. So again, here you've got a story. U.S.-EU pledge climate change cooperation from April 30th. And then here you have that was from Bangkok Post that we just read. This one from the AP, April 30th. Headline, U.S. and China oppose climate report. So apparently the United States wants to make some changes, but they don't like the idea of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the U.N.'s body that is comprising, 2,000 scientists that all put forth their various efforts, expertise, and opinions. And then, of course, it's all sanitized by government officials. And this is a perfect example of that, because the United States and China, among other nations presumably, have some various points that they disagree with in this this report, and it's again inevitable at this point. But here's what it says. The United States and China want to change a draft report written by hundreds of the world's leading climate change researchers to downplay its conclusions that quick action can limit the expected catastrophic effects of global warming. Among other things, the two countries cast doubts on claims by international researchers that immediate moves could stabilize greenhouse gas levels and limit the temperature rise to 2 degrees Celsius. That's right, 2 whole degrees. Criticisms of the draft by Washington and Beijing were made among dozens of comments and proposals submitted by 119 governments ahead of this week's Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change meeting in Thailand. The submissions viewed by the Associated Press today provided a preview of what delegates expect will be a fight for much of the week to preserve the key conclusions in the draft IPCC report. So they want it to be scary, and of course the U.S. is saying, well, come on, is there really proof that this much of these kinds of drastic measures will actually improve? And again, in my mind, in the span of 90-something years, the fact that we can limit the rise to only 2 degrees, I mean, come on. Don't we have more immediate problems? And you could say, well, come on. What about your kids and your grandkids, Frank? What about the future? What about the planet? I understand. And as I've said many times, and I think my stand on faith has been pretty well spelled out here, but I firmly believe that it's extremely arrogant for human beings to assume that they themselves have the power to either destroy or save the planet. I think that God has a hand in it at some level. I'm not saying we should just go out there with reckless abandon and, you know, do all the horrific things that are being done in the environment. I love being outdoors, but at the same time, I'm not a freak about it. Story goes on. Two previous IPCC reports this year painted a dire picture of a future in which unabated greenhouse gas emissions could drive global temperatures up as much as 6 degrees Celsius by 2100. Even a 2-degree rise, they say, could subject up to 2 billion people to water shortages by 2050 and threaten extinction for 20 to 30% of the world's species, said the IPCC. Yeah, again, there's a lot of different factors at work here, and I simply think that the idea, and we talked about it, there was a big debate between Newt Gingrich and John Kerry, and they kind of went back and forth about the whole thing, and basically Gingrich took the wind out of the Democrats' sails by simply saying, yep, I agree, humans do contribute to global warming. And then they said, oh, crap, where do we go now? Well, the only disparity they had was the difference in it. Whereas Gingrich was very much pro-business, saying, hey, look, let's welcome these people into this whole drive to make some changes. And Kerry was saying, no, let's use legislation to make it mandatory. And of course, when Kerry makes claims like that, he's not simply talking about for the businesses to change, but also for us to change as well. Now, when you've got a bank account like John Kerry's, if they pass a law saying you must have a vehicle that conforms to these emission standards, and therefore, if you do not, you will need to buy a new vehicle. For John Kerry, not a big deal, right? Not a big deal at all. $10,000 bicycle that he has and you know, $1,000 haircuts and probably $10,000 suits. Yeah, new car, not a big problem for him. For us, a huge problem. Big, big problem. Not to say that Gingrich's position is any better. He's saying, let's invite businesses. Well, hey, isn't that how we got in this situation in the first place? Catering to big businesses over the individuals? Yeah, absolutely. So I disagree with both of their approaches, but I do think that both of them deserve to have some attention, if only because this is a big deal, and it will affect each and every one of us. It goes on. The report being debated this week in Bangkok stresses the world must quickly embrace a basket of technological options already available and being developed to limit the temperature rise to a mere 2 degrees Celsius, as opposed to 6. So in 100 years, let's limit it to only 2. Where's the accountability? Every scientist who said this is going to happen, they're all going to be dead in 90-something years, right? I mean, presumably. I suppose anything's possible, but I would just wager that scientists, you know, in various fields, you know, they don't exactly live to be, you know, 150 years old. But what I'm saying here, in essence, is that there's no proof that this can be a count of anything. It's much like people who say, if you smoke, every time you smoke a cigarette, you take a year off your life. How do they know how long you're going to live? It's a fair question. Right? Because you could be the most healthy person in the world. You could eat perfectly. You could exercise a great amount, but not too much, of course. And you could never even expose yourself to anything like secondhand smoke or electromagnetic frequencies or anything that's deemed to be harmful for you. And you could still get hit by a truck. So, you know, there's no way for them to predict these sorts of things, just like there's no way for them to predict what the weather's going to be like in 100 years from now. They can't predict the weather of tomorrow. In one town. Yet they're going to give us a planet-wide assessment of where we're going to be in 100 years. Where's the proof? And nobody's asking that question. But nevertheless, I digress. The United States wants clauses inserted saying the cost of current available technologies to reduce emissions, quote, could be unacceptably high, end quote, and calling for a greater emphasis on advanced technologies, many of which are aimed at extending the use of coal. The United States and China also criticize the economics in the report, which concludes that stabilizing the greenhouse gases to limit the temperature rise to 2 degrees would cost less than 3% of the global gross domestic product over 2 decades. The United States says it has, quote, provided billions of dollars, end quote, in incentives to increase the use of nuclear energy renewables and clean coal technologies, which is probably true. Again, when you start factoring in global gross domestic product, well, you know, obviously, a tiny little island country with a population of 30 people, they're not going to be paying as much into that as we would, for example. So I think that's somewhat of a fair gripe. Here's the other thing. The United States has provided billions of dollars in incentives to increase the use of nuclear energy. Have we? Maybe. Not to Iran. Everybody else is more than entitled to pursue nuclear energy, but not Iran. Look, I'm not, I don't know anything about Iran other than what I read and the people I've talked to and things like that. I don't know. They could very well be producing nuclear weapons, but it seems to me that it'd be a heck of a lot easier to buy one. It's not like they're short on cash with the oil prices where they are. They're very flush. They're rolling in dough. It just seems to me that it would be a heck of a lot more expedient, heck of a lot easier to conceal, to simply buy a nuclear weapon. Just one, or maybe more than one. It doesn't even matter. Seems like it would be very easy to do. So that having been said, I don't know. The point is that apparently nuclear energy is definitely endorsed by the United States. Unless it's Iran or a country that we might worry about. I think there are at least half a dozen countries in the Middle East alone pursuing nuclear energy as a fuel source simply because of the oil and whatnot. I mean, they say, well, you know, at some point the oil might run out, so let's cover our bases here. Let's not sell off what we need to survive. And if we, of course, have nuclear energy, we can sell our oil and continue to make a lot of money. So they're looking at it from an economic point of view, short-term and long-term, which I understand. But again, when you've got various people saying, hey, look, certain countries are allowed to have nuclear power plants and certain countries are not, well, then it begs the question, how much are we really contributing to the nuclear energy proliferation? And is that a good thing? I don't even know. Just putting it out there for deep thoughts and discussion. And the story concludes saying the IPCC was established under the auspices of the World Meteorological Organization and the United Nations Environmental Program to provide regular assessments to policymakers on scientific, socioeconomic, and technical aspects of climate change. So big business for the United Nations, certainly. And that report is, I think, the third section of the report. It's four parts. The third section, I believe, will be released this week, maybe Friday. So we'll probably give that its due attention. But it is noteworthy to say, you know, let's look at all these different scenarios and figure out what's going on. Very, very interesting story coming out of, well, it's about Australia, but you can find it at whatdoesitmean.com. Came out on the 29th, written by Saoirse Fall, translated from Russian. A little bit choppy, but some good content in here as always. It says, shocking reports from the Kremlin today are showing that just under 1 week from Australian Prime Minister John Howard's urgent plea to his citizens to pray for rain to fall in their drought-ravaged nation, the government of Australia has entered into secret negotiations with the United States and their Commonwealth allies for the proposed evacuation of upwards of 11 million of its 20 million residents. Very interesting. As reported by Britain's independent news service, quote, Australia has warned that it will have to switch off the water supply to the continent's food bowl unless heavy rains break an epic drought, heralding what could be the first climate change-driven disaster to strike a developed nation. The Murray-Darling Basin in southeastern Australia yields 40% of the country's agricultural produce, but the two rivers that feed the region are so pitifully low there will soon be only enough water for drinking supplies. Australia is in the grip of its worst drought on record, the victim of changing weather patterns attributed to global warming, and a government that is only just starting to wake up to the severity of its position. Very, very interesting stuff, folks. Stay with us. Quick break. Back in three with more news and more Frankly Speaking Radio.
Thank you.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit coredocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Glad you're here. Talking about this story out of whatdoesitmean.com, came out on the 29th again, sourcing the independent news service out of Britain, talking about Australia and the severity of their drought, which we've covered a number of times on the show. And it is important to note that this has been a problem for a while now. It's not that it's brand new, where all of a sudden people start talking about global warming, and then, oh, look, there's your first tragedy. It's very possible it could be, and it is a tragedy to watch what's happening over there, but this idea of evacuating half of the country, 11 million of its 20 million citizens, that's not really addressed in this story, per se, the one that she's sourcing here from The Independent, but we'll continue with that quote nevertheless. It says, the Prime Minister John Howard, a hardened climate change skeptic, delivered dire tidings to the nation's farmers yesterday. Unless there is significant rainfall in the next 6 to 8 weeks, irrigation will therefore be banned in the principal agricultural area. Crops such as rice, cotton, and wine grapes will fail. Citrus, olive, and almond trees will die, along with the livestock. A ban on irrigation, which would remain in place until May of next year, spells possible ruin for thousands of farmers already debt-laden and in despair after six straight years of drought, end quote. So again, that's been going on for a while, and I find it hard to believe that if you, pass less gas, if you drive less in America, then you're causing, you'll save the farmers' livelihood in Australia. I don't think it works quite that way. It's a tragedy, and they have my sympathy without a doubt. But what I'm saying is that the idea of, honestly, it's just like anything else. Australia will probably be allowed to suffer by the powers that be in the interest of facilitating the urgency and the importance of climate change. And therefore, because it is so important, in order to save the planet, the politicians will be given exactly the same kind of pervasive and dictatorial type of powers that the war on terror would give them. So really no discernible difference there between the Republican agenda and the Democrat agenda here in America. Regardless, it's more government, bigger government, more power, more control. Anyway, back to Sorcia Falls' comments, whatdoesitmean.com. She says, FSB sources commenting on these reports state that the Australian government's request to other Western nations are for the establishment of an international working group tasked with devising a scheme for the immediate evacuation of upwards of 11 million human beings. According to these reports, it is entirely feasible for Australia or any nation to evacuate up to 10 million of its citizens in just 6 months' time, with the main question being, of course, where to bring them. The most likely destination would be the vast wilderness areas of North America, including Alaska and Canada, in which, according to the latest scientific reports of global warming, will be one of the only areas on Earth to benefit from the vast climate changes taking place in our world. I disagree with that. Now, whether or not that's true is a different story altogether, but from what I've seen, in essence, global warming is just part of the climate change issue. The Pentagon climate report talks about Siberian climate in England and in the British Isles. So what does that say for what Alaska and parts of Canada will be? This is a big issue, and obviously an important issue as well. The other thing to consider, too, if that's the only area on the whole planet that will be livable in the event of a abrupt climate change type of scenario, then how do you count? Why would Canada and America say, yeah, come and stay in our land, Australians? Wouldn't they save it for themselves? I mean, that's what I would think. That's what I would perceive it to be. Simply a selfish agenda saying, yeah, well, hey, look, it sucks to be you guys, and you're more than welcome to go and settle in Texas or something like that, but we're keeping this area for ourselves. And with Bush buying territory in, was it Paraguay, I believe it is, that indicates to me that certainly if Canada and Alaska were the only safe places on the whole earth, you wouldn't have the Bush family down there buying up property. So it's an important point. Anyway, back to the story. She says, what remains an unknown at this time would be the reaction of other of the world's nations to the mass resettlement of climate change refugees by the West, but which some of America's top military officers have warned the United States to be prepared for, as reported by the Bloomberg News Service. Quote, you know, climate change has become a top priority in Washington when it starts penetrating the thinking of leaders in the U.S. military and intelligence community. 11 retired generals and admirals have sent out a warning shot about national security threats from climate change, calling it a, quote, threat multiplier, end quote, that will make unstable regions shakier throughout increased drought, extreme weather, migrations, and rising extremism, end quote, which we've covered that extensively on the show as well. Sorcia Fall goes on. Most surprising of these world-shaking events remains the perplexing attitude of the Americans, and who seemingly continue to ignore the grave implications of this dire threat. The same cannot be said of their top military leaders, who have literally gone to war with the entire world based upon the horrific 2004 Pentagon assessment of climate change and its consequences, which I've read to you many, many, many times. But she sources it here from The Guardian. Again, this is in 2004. And she's saying right here, you know, basically exactly what I've been saying, that the war on terror is not a war on terror at all, but rather an attempt to have an excuse to acquire natural resources for the continuation of our existence. And then she sources this from The Guardian back in 2004, February, of course, saying, quote, a secret report suppressed by U.S. defense chiefs and obtained by The Observer warns that major European cities will be sunk beneath rising seas as Britain is plunged into a Siberian climate by 2020. So she mentions right there about the Siberian climate. I can't see how Alaska is going to be warmer or rather, you know, comfortable. Anyway, stay with us, folks. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room, and it made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com or call 312-224-2710, 312-224-2710.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
PersonalArms.com has all your self-defense needs. Check out our cell phone stun gun. Excellent protection from would-be attackers. It truly looks like a real cell phone. Also, check out our new electronic barking dog alarm. Containing microwave technology, this electronic watchdog sees through walls. The electronic barking dog alarm works when an intruder comes within 15 feet. The barking dog alarm will begin barking like a true-to-life angry German Shepherd. The closer the intruder comes, the more frequent and more threatening the barking becomes. You can purchase stun guns, stun batons, pepper spray, telephone voice changers, martial arts instructional DVDs, and the same tasers that you have seen the police use on TV and more at www.personalarms.com. That's www.personalarms.com. Or call 1-201-641-1442. Come visit us, personalarms.com. Don't be afraid anymore. Receive a free pepper spray by mentioning RBN when you place your online order. We will not sell items prohibited by any state, county, or law.
Glad you're here, my friends. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan, and very excited to have you with us here, of course. And again, looking at the conclusion of this story from whatdoesitmean.com, source of fall here, sourcing The Guardian, goes on to say, quote, "Nuclear conflict, mega droughts, famine, and widespread rioting will erupt across the world. The document predicts that abrupt climate change could bring the planet to the edge of anarchy as countries develop a nuclear threat to defend and secure dwindling food, water, and energy supplies. The threat to global stability vastly eclipses that of terrorism, so say the few experts privy to its contents." Now, again, what we've got here is the Pentagon's report on abrupt climate change, which we've talked about numerous times on the show because it's a very, very important document. It's also a document that we do not have access to. Now, yes, there is a version of this climate report that is available to civilian eyes, and there's a classified version. Now, why you classify climate change is beyond me, unless there's something, obviously, to significantly hide. And aside from this Pentagon assessment, the British have put out their own sort of little threat assessment of things, and it more or less in conjunction with each other. They do work together in concert to a great degree. But I think the Pentagon report goes a little bit further. And it does talk about climate change, not just global warming. So, again, the big question is, you know, what's going to happen? Now, the Pentagon climate report specifically mentions nuclear development of weapons, which is what we're accusing Iran of doing. Yet in the story prior to that, in the U.S. making its claims that, you know, hey, more can be done to facilitate alternative technologies rather than everybody investing in existing technologies, because we've already given billions into nuclear energy research and information to other countries. So, again, there are nuclear proliferation issues as far as energy goes all over the planet, and supposedly funded by the U.S., according to the U.S., comments to the IPCC panel. It's very, very interesting. So what I'm getting at quite simply here is this, that these things are happening and nations are preparing. And they're not preparing necessarily because they are fearful of lack of oil. They fear a lack of control of the oil. And that's what's going on here. This war on terror is a big sham. So, anyway, when you look at it in those terms, I think it is very, very interesting. Now, to take it down a different road, and we'll just look at these issues, the nuclear side of things, the nuclear energy side of things, is going to come up in some additional stories. But as I always say, folks, I more than welcome your interaction. Very easy to do. Pick up the phone, dial 800-313-9443, toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Let's go to Michael in Missouri. Michael, welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. I haven't been to the beach since I heard about the waves crashing into Chile. I heard that on your show a while back.
Yeah, yeah, certainly. Yeah, yeah, doesn't pay to go to the beach. Yeah.
Right. 25-foot tall waves, it kind of spooked me. That's a little way south of here, but wow, what an earth change, huh?
Yeah.
But I was listening to you talk about Source articles. I was checking out her site earlier this evening, and because I've been reading a lot about what Putin coming out with, and it's getting pretty heated, his rhetoric.
Yes.
And so it's a really hard thing as a Christian to sit back and wonder, you know, where these things fit into Bible prophecy. And but I also, about the global warming thing, I read some articles about how these multinational corporations are now trying to step in and take over the private water supplies, or yes, even some of the public.
Mm-hmm.
So you mentioned earlier about Bush being in Paraguay. He's down there. He bought a second to house or like 100,000 acres on top of one of the world's largest freshwater aquifers. And I mentioned something about that earlier. So, you know, it's all kind of looking like water's kind of an issue. But, you know, what I do is I go into the Colburn, I guess they call it the Colburn Bible, or it used to be called the Book of the Colburn, and it talks about this second sun, or what sounds like a second sun, that comes passing by the earth every 3,600 years or so, and it gives a pretty good description of climate change. And so if we are looking for something unclassified in terms of a document that can maybe give us some real truth or maybe some idea about what this might mean to us, because as I understand it, this is a historical book that was originally written on copper bronze by Egyptian and Celtic priests. So it gives a pretty graphic, detailed description of this thing that's come by in orbit before and exactly how, just how intense this thing really is.
Yes, I couldn't agree with you more. It is a big, big deal. And I think at the same time, it also highlights something that I had mentioned earlier just tonight, which is that, you know, all of the legislation, all of the taxation, all of the monetary punishment that they'll come up with to, of course, force us into submission in order to save the planet really has no bearing whatsoever on the planet itself. I mean, it's going to do what it's going to do. And if this is a gradual natural process that happens every, you know, however many thousands of years, which it would appear to be, then there's nothing we can do to make a difference anyway. Not to mention the fact that, again, as you had mentioned, a second sun, or some would say Planet X, or anything like that that maybe flies through, you can plainly see that you know, all of the carbon emissions being cut, it's not going to make a damn bit of difference. Now, The other thing, too, to pay attention to is the evidence of global warming, not just on this planet, but on other planets. I mean, various moons out there in our solar system. Certainly Mars has been mentioned, a number of other planets and planetary bodies, indicating that it has to be some common denominator in the solar system. Now, you can say it's a passing of a star or a planetary body like a comet, Planet X, whatever. You can also say the changes could be in the sun, in which case, again, no amount of driving your SUV is going to say the sun's going to calm itself down and say, okay, everything's fine. Never mind. Go back about your business. Now that you got rid of your Cadillac Escalade, I'll just go back to being the sun. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, and it brings up a lot of other issues in terms of, you know, with the rising oceans and the issue with China and simply their coming lack of space and resource problem. You know, so
yeah,
this whole war thing, you know, we keep focused, I think, as Americans in our media on this whole Islam thing. And, you know, that is what it is. But for me, I'm way more concerned with the rhetoric coming out of Russia. And when Putin, because I understand these people, I lived over there for a while. And when this is speaking in the way that he's speaking, I think we should pay more, you know, more attention to that, because that's a much more serious issue. And they have the, I don't know how to say it properly. It's just much more serious issue, I think, than what the media is focusing on and how they're taking it right now. And I wanted to give you a thank you also. You had mentioned earlier, you know, if you're reaching people or helping people, you know, you had a, I don't know if it was your show or John Moore's show, but you had an advertisement about something called the Healing Codes back in December. And I got that package, and I've used it ever since. And it's just been outstanding. And I wanted to thank you or RBN for that, because it's been a great part of our healing routine that we, in fact, we still use that every single day. So I wanted to say,
well,
thank you.
Thank you. I don't know. It doesn't sound familiar to me, so it may have been John's show. But regardless, I mean, if the network is able to help, I mean, that's a good thing, too. And, yeah, I mean, that's great to hear. And, yeah, there's a lot of stuff out there that needs to be brought out. And I agree with you with your assessment of Putin and certainly some other areas, China, that are of high interest. Had you caught the story about John McCain's recent comments?
No, I don't think I
okay.
saw that one.
I'll probably be getting to that, but that should really be a big glass of ice water down your back for most people out there when you understand the ramifications and the significance of that statement that he had made, and we'll get to that in the course of the show. But you'll definitely pick up on it, given that you're already sort of at a heightened awareness as far as how these players will fit into the future of the world scene.
So. Yeah, I was actually reading the book of Revelations today and trying to figure out where this country and that country might fit into the scheme of things. But, you know, with the mark of the beast being here, I believe SoMark Innovations out of St. Louis with their invisible RFID UPC code is a pretty big sign that we're close to the end of the book, so to speak.
You know? Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I've been going back and reading the Bible and trying to, on my own, as you speak a lot and try to tell people to do, try to really look at that for myself and figure out and read it for myself and have a fresher view and in light of all the developments that are coming about and such. So.
Wonderful. Well, that's very exciting, and I'm glad that you're doing that. There's so many different things that the Bible can shed light on in terms of current events, but I think the most important thing you can get out of it is a sense of peace and comfort and joy even with it, because it is a healing book, and it is there to provide you with you know, the same sort of comfort a parent would give a child in the course of some, you know, drama or whatever, where you just get, you know, the pat on the back and say, it's going to be okay, don't worry about it, I've got this under control. You know, I don't know if you have kids, Michael, but obviously you would do it in that fashion with comforting your children the same way your parents did it with you, and that's what God has in store for us, is we're going to be fine. Be aware of these things, but don't ever fear them. There's no reason for that.
Right. I think I'd be lost right now without that. But yeah, it's a great comfort here. I agree with you. And I'm really thankful for that, and I'm thankful for the show that you put out and that RBN, the work that you guys do, and really appreciate that.
Well, bless you for that, my friend. And thank you for calling. Thank you for being a part of the show. I appreciate that.
Thank you. Take care.
You too, sir. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Fantastic stuff. Very, very kind, unduly kind words there from Michael in Missouri. But, you know, he brings up some fantastic points, and that is in terms of the truth. And, you know, it is vital that we do take that burden upon our shoulders to go and seek these things out, wherever they may lead. It's not a pretty picture all the time, but it's nothing to be afraid of. Just understand it. Be aware of it. You know, fear is a weird thing. And you look at the greatest horror movies out there. I don't know if you guys watch them or not. Certainly, you probably have seen one in the course of your life, maybe inadvertently, but you have seen one. In which case, you know what I'm talking about. The scariest movies are the ones that leave something to the imagination. It's your mind doing the scaring. It's your mind sort of being put into this scenario of these little frightened characters are running around, never quite seeing what's chasing them, never quite being able to face their fears, but always running away from it anyway. And that's the scary part. But turning around, facing it, seeing it, understanding it, that's not scary. That's empowering. So you can view it as you wish, I suppose. But it's an important point. Moving on to the next story here. This is from April 24th. Yes, all the way back to April 24th, the International Herald Tribune says, does climate change threaten international peace and security? The British government thinks it does. As this month's head of the United Nations Security Council, Britain convened a debate on the matter last Tuesday. One in four United Nations member countries joined the discussion, a record for this kind of thematic debate. So a pretty substantial attendance and interest in this subject about global security in terms of global warming. Think about that, my friends. Let's say that the United States stepped up and said, hey, we'll go ahead and handle security around the planet for this global warming issue. We'll make sure that everybody's in compliance. Do you think the world would agree with that? No. But how would the world agree with the world governing itself? They'd be just fine with that. Well, guess what? They've already got it in place. There's been many, many, many calls for this exact sort of thing. People have said we need some sort of global governance to handle the environmental issues that we're facing and so on and so forth. And when you look at the environmental issues itself, this is something that George W. Bush, has been inherently reluctant to embrace and sort of, you know, be aware of. He knows about it, and maybe he played dumb, I don't know. But the Pentagon Climate Change Report came out, and this is when it came out to the public, in February of 2004. So already well over 3 years old, and that's just our public awareness of it. Okay, I have no doubt that, you know, the findings, or at least the suspicion, was in place well before this. So the idea of that being sort of the driving force behind the war on terror is very intriguing. Now, obviously, the war on terror was begun before that, and the Project for New American Century was available in some incarnation in the early 90s. So under the first Bush, he didn't jump on it, neither did Clinton, but George W. Bush did. The time was right. And I think that this has to do with the fact that they're well aware of what's going on. And if it is a return of something like Planet X, that's fairly predictable in the grand scheme of things as far as being able to know when, where, how, who, and why, it's very possible they know exactly about when this thing is going to start causing these problems, and they have done their best to sort of jump in there and facilitate, you know, some of the control mechanisms to be able to go ahead and gain access to natural resources and so on and so forth. So all of that having been factored in, to the rest of the world, just purely on an environmental issue, the United States looks like it's far, far, far behind. It looks like, well, you've got an oil man president, and the oil companies are, you know, certainly based there in America, at least a great portion of them. So, therefore, he knows about climate change, but he's going to deny global warming because he's trying to take care of his business partners and so on and so forth. And they'd be right. So what does that mean? That means that the world, especially in light of the Iraq and the war on terror, would not be comfortable with the United States having a dominant role in environmental enforcement and so on and so forth, which means that we're looking at global government. And this could be the issue that empowers the United Nations to take on that role of global government, quite simply because, you know, nobody thinks of the UN as being respectable in terms of military might or in terms of being fair or in terms of being exempt from corruption. And anybody that's ever looked deeply into the United Nations and their documents and their agendas should be terrified by what they see, not empowered, not certainly comforted by it. So when you factor all that in, that means that the United Nations could legitimately get its foot in the global government door simply by saying, let's push for this. So when you see stories like this about the British saying, let's get together with the, because they're the head of the UN Security Council this month, I guess it would have been last month, but let's get together and discuss climate change in terms of national security to a variety of different nations, and you have a huge attendance for just a debate on the issue, just a discussion. That's very, very significant, my friends. The story goes on. Evidence is fast accumulating that within our children's lifetime, severe droughts, storms, and heat waves caused by climate change could rip apart societies from one side of the planet to the other. In the future, the battlefield is likely to be complex and hazardous. Climate change will help produce the kind of military challenges that are difficult for today's conventional forces to handle. Insurgencies, genocide, guerrilla attacks, gang warfare, global terrorism. Now, that kind of sounds like current events, doesn't it? Stay with us. Quick break. Back in three with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the methods he himself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
All right, employees, listen up. Our group health insurance premium just went up again. In fact, it's doubled in the last 4 years, and now we've been forced to try something new. So we're increasing the annual deductible from $500 to $2,500. Okay, cut the moaning. The good news is you'll all still only have to pay your regular $500 deductible. The company is installing a new health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA plan, that will pay up to $2,000 in benefits only to those employees who have deductible expenses. This new HRA plan is saving us a lot of money.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents' HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by the IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
World War III? Rising fuel prices? Financial collapse? Trucker strike? North American Union? Our world has become a very fragile place, and we need to be prudent and plan ahead. Don't wait for an impending crisis to become reality. Then it will be too late. Stoves and More wants to help give you freedom from the systems of the world. If the grid is down and fossil fuels are not available to you, how would you heat your home, cook your food, and heat your water? People, we need to be more independent and able to take care of ourselves in a natural disaster, political crisis, or financial crisis. Stoves and More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you the independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. With the right application, you'll be able to use these stoves all year long, not just during the winter months. At Stoves and More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. Stoves and More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at stovesandmoreonline.com. Food, water, and a wood cook stove are keys to your survival in a crisis. Take action!
1, 2, 3, my baby don't mess around me, she loves me so, and this I know for sure. But does she really want to, but can't stand to see me walk out the door. Don't try to fight the feeling, cause the thought alone is killing me right now. Thank God for mom and dad for sticking two together, cause we don't know.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, tail end of hour number three, and certainly time moving by quickly. Got a lot of stuff still to get into. Be aware of our phone number, 800-313-9443. Back to the story from the International Herald Tribune. Again, April 24th is when this came out, and it talks about sort of the this UN Security Council discussion in which Britain had convened it, and a lot of people joined in. They wanted to talk about this. And this is something that the UN Security Council typically wouldn't look at, climate change. Well, when you start having all these military heavyweights start weighing in, you can start to see that the rest of the world's going to pay close attention, especially if they are in need of natural resources. I'll give you a perfect example. Let's say you've got some nation who's relatively small. Maybe they don't grow a lot of their own food. Maybe they don't have a lot of their own oil reserves and so on and so forth. Maybe they don't have a lot of water, perhaps. That country, okay, whichever one we're talking about here in question, would be one of the first ones to join into a global government if they were going to be allotted rations of food, water, and energy. They can create a global army, and don't think that it's not possible. And yes, when you tell people that basically your very existence is at stake, you'll have some war. We already have wars for pointless reasons. Weapons of mass destruction? Oh, there aren't any. But we're still there. Why? Oh, because there's some terrorists there. Oh, okay. Well, let's increase the troop levels in Iraq to far greater than they were for the actual invasion of the whole country, which took about 3 weeks. Well, here we are 4 years later, still there. You don't think that the whole world, if every country contributed to something, contributed troops and whatnot, that they could put together an incredible army of starving, thirsty, energy-deprived people who are looking to take what they want? This could happen. This is a big, big issue. It goes on. In the 1990s, a research team I guess first-person perspective, at the University of Toronto examined links between various forms of environmental stress in poor countries, cropland degradation, deforestation, and scarcity of fresh water, for example, and violent conflict. In places as diverse as Haiti, Pakistan, the Philippines, and South Africa, we found that severe environmental stress multiplied by the pain caused by such problems as ethnic strife and poverty. Rural residents who depend on the local natural resources for their livelihood become poorer, while powerful elites take control of and extract exorbitant profits from increasingly valuable land, forests, and water. That's exactly what's happening now, and what will continue to happen. Again, that's why these smaller countries, who would never send troops to Iraq to take out Saddam's weapons of mass destruction, they'd be all about joining a global army in order to take these things back from what they view as the powerful elites. As these resources in the countryside dwindle, people sometimes join local rebellions against landowners and government officials. Perfect example. In mountainous areas of the Philippines, for instance, deforestation, soil erosion, and depletion of soil nutrients have increased poverty and helped drive peasants into the arms of the communist New People's Army insurgency. Well, that ties in with what the British study had come up with, which is basically the whole idea of the possibility of people revolting against their governments, which is why the governments have to take away control and opportunity from the people, which is why they want to take away our guns, of course. Stay with us, back in about 90 seconds.